And good morning. I welcome you back. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio. I'm Catherine Davis, the host of this program. And we are being joined once again by a very special guest, Sergio Magaña Osio Kyoto. And he was with us just a couple of weeks ago, and we spoke to him from Mexico. But today he is in New York City, and I'm so excited because all of you will have an opportunity to meet Sergio this weekend, actually tonight even, at the New York Open Center. And Sergio Magaña is a well-known and respected healer in Mexico City who has been initiated into the 5,000-year-old Toltec and Tolakiotl lineage of Mesoamerica. The tradition began with the ancient Chichimecas, who transmitted it to the Teotihuacans and then Toltecs, who then taught both the Mayan and Aztecs. So it is an enormous tradition that we are speaking of today. Sergio is also trained in the Tol-Shamanic lineage, Nahualism, of dreaming knowledge that has been passed on in the oral traditions without interruption from master to student for some 14,000 years. He is the author of 2012-21, Dawn of the Sixth Sun, and also The Toltec Secret, Dreaming Practices of the Ancient Mexicans. So I want to say hello and welcome back, Sergio, to Heart of Mind Radio.
Hello, Catherine. Thank you so much again for the invitation. Now that I'm in New York, I would have loved to be alive, but I received the email very late, and I flew very early. So we are on the phone, and I am so happy to hear your voice.
Yes, I'm really happy to hear you as well. The connection seems good, so we are doing just fine. And we spoke 2 weeks ago and gave some of the history of your own cultivation of these arts, of these traditions. And this week I really wanted to go deeper into the subjects that you will be teaching this coming weekend at the New York Open Center. And you can maybe introduce it with a little bit of history, but I know today you're going to be doing an evening workshop on lucid dreaming in the Toltec tradition. So tell us a little bit about lucid dreaming and these traditions.
In ancient times, the word lucid dreaming didn't exist. For the ancient Mexicans, the word that existed was flower dream. I will explain a little bit now, like science does, what is lucid dreaming, and what do we pretend in the Toltec tradition. Lucid dreaming actually is to be aware that you are dreaming while you are dreaming. That's the definition. Then, for the ancient Mexicans, that wasn't the main purpose of dreaming. Of course, we now use that word because it's the one that is common around. It's the one that some people know, because most of the people doesn't know anything about dreaming. But the ancient Mexicans, what they pretended is super lucidity. What does that mean? That you are aware that you are dreaming, and then to change the dream, to add certain archetypes or to go to certain places to change your destiny, to create your life through your dreams. It actually is quite powerful, because if you see in your dreams, you are in the, how can I define it? Like in the most unconscious part of you. If you are really able to master how to transform that area, it will reflect in all the areas of your life. Like healing, like getting abundance, like have prophetic dreams, all these kind of things. Of course, to achieve all those goals, you need a long, long training. But today I will start in the New York Open Center with the basics. For the ancient Mexicans, because nowadays a lot of people, like lucid dreaming is getting like trendy, like something, like a new fashion to be exploring. But for the ancient Mexicans, what they wanted is, like I said, it was to create your life through your dreams. So, there was a certain discipline that was called Mexicatzin. That's Nahuatl, the ancient language that was spoken by Toltecs, by Teotihuacans, by Chichimecas, and also by the Aztecs. That means the wise Mexica. Something that I would like to say that Mexica doesn't mean to be Mexican. That's a new concept because the entire world, the entire country took the name of the ancient wise men. Mexica means the ones that have accepted the influence of the moon and the influence of your dreams in your life, and that you're doing something to work with that. So there was a kind of discipline that is supposed to be done before you fall asleep, in which, for example, if you need health, for example, you have to destroy the physical issue that you have, then you have to destroy the dreams that created that issue and the energy that is creating that. And then to plant or to sow a new archetype or dream in which you will get the healing. And when we are now, science says that when we are falling asleep, we are crossing through a state that is called hypnagogic. So the ancient Mexicans didn't mention that. They just taught you that before falling asleep, you should do this type of readings to create four different dreams and to plant them in order to then dream it. Of course, probably the same night, probably 1 month after, it doesn't matter. And then to get the result in your waking life. So it's a great discipline. And then with that discipline, for example, you use certain archetypes. That, like Carl Jung said, and many others, we have all these archetypes in what we call the collective unconscious. But for getting lucidity, for example, you can say, "I will plant this dream with the serpent that will take me to health." And once I see the serpent, I enter in lucidity. So you are also creating a pattern in which when you see the archetypes, you enter in lucidity. And then you recognize all your healing, all your abundance, all the love that you're going to ask for, all the healing of your ancestors. There are many, many others. So it's amazing because sometimes you just get lucid like for 3 seconds and you see, okay, my healing. And then you again lost lucidity, but then you get the healing. So it's an amazing training in how to fall asleep, which archetypes serve for anything, for different purposes. And then at the end, other one that is how to wake up.
So, if I understand, I believe I was very lucky to be able to take this particular training with you when you were here in 2014. So I'm really happy to be able to get a second installment on this practice. But really, I think for people to understand is that we are living out our lives is really a dream because it originates in the dream state. So whatever we may be going through in our daily life is truly originating in our dream state. Is that how we can even think of our lives?
Yeah, I know that sometimes, like, people have lost, most of people, of the complete connection with the dreaming state. It's not something very comfortable to hear. Actually, when I began my training with dreams, I had completely lost my connection with my dreaming state. So I belong to the group. So I understand. But, for example, I remember my teacher telling me, if you don't remember your dreams, you are like a living death, because you don't have any control for your waking in your waking state. I was really, like, kind of shocked. I wasn't sure it was truth. I felt uncomfortable, actually, when I heard it for the first time. Mm-hmm. But now that I had been, like, many, many years practicing this, then now I really recognize it. I see the things before coming, even the people that you are going to meet, they appear before in your dreams, great opportunities, and also the problems that you are creating. And if you really begin changing, canceling dreams and that, then you have other opportunity. And why is that? Because for the ancient Mexicans, that I'm talking about all the cultures, including Mayans and all of them, that's why I say Mexicans, because there were many, many, many different groups that were practicing dreaming. So there were like 13 heavens. And what does that mean? That there were like 13, it could be called like dimensions or steps, that the first energy that was called Centeotl gave to become matter in the 14th, that is our world, but we are not a heaven anymore because it's this world, so there are only 13. The seventh heaven is in the, for the ancient Mexicans, where dreams happen. So through dreams, you are closer to the first energy to become something and closer to the matter. That's why it's much easier to work in your dreams than to work in the waking state. And I remember that when my teacher told me for the first time that, I thought, but it's also important what you think. It's also very important what you eat. It's also very important whatever. I was given many excuses. And then he told me, yes, but what you eat, what you dream, and all of that depends on what you dream. And that's when I begin, like, saying, yeah, is it? And now, after practicing it for many years, I'm sure. I have seen people that is going to hire me or create problems before knowing them in my dreams. Then I recognize them and I say, okay, the problem of my dreams, the girl of my dreams, everything mm-hmm. of my dreams. So it's amazing. It's amazing. And of course, I know that many of the lucid dreamers say, you are wasting the third of your life with 8 hours without consciousness. But now I can say you are wasting almost all of it if you don't do anything about that. Because you could foresee, you could begin solving things, you could be creating. And, for example, to do exercise or anything in your waking life, you have to add hours to your normal routine. But for doing dreaming, of course, you have to do certain things. But all of us are going to dream. Everyone is forced to sleep. So it's just to make the best of that.
Mm-hmm. So my question is, a lot of people don't really remember their dreaming states. And so what is happening if you're not actively working with your dreams? Is the activity of your life feeding into your dreams and feeding back into your life again? Is it like a cycle?
Yeah, because a lot of people say, I don't dream. No, of course you dream. If you don't dream, you would be totally nuts. Yeah, because your psyche couldn't recover. There are two parts main in the dreaming cycle. There are two main parts. One, to repair the body, that you don't dream a lot. That is the first part of the night, for example. And the second, that is full of dreams, that is to heal your psyche. your mind. So everyone dreams. So if you don't remember them, there are two ways. You will always receive the message from your dreams. There is one way to receive it through your life, but you don't know that you're receiving the message because you are just living it. Or two, receive it in the dream and maybe to fix it, to cancel the dream or to plant one different. So, but you will always receive the message from your dreams or in your life or in the same dream and try to modify if there is something to be modified or to get really happy when you are seeing that something really beautiful is coming to your life and just wait for that. So that's the way it works.
Fascinating. And it's very valuable because it really, like you said, it really does get us into contact with a much deeper part of ourselves that allows us to create the life that we want. So, and really to create the openings that we want to have in our everyday existence. Many people, I think all people really, are born into the world with some gift to offer, some special talent that they have, a capacity to do great things. But if we can really align with our own truth, then that can get us much closer to where we have really to accomplish whatever it is that we've come into this life to accomplish and to experience and enjoy. So it's a great gift to think that we could do this. So I just want to remind everyone that indeed you can enjoy this. You can go to the Open Center, the New York Open Center, and you will be able to register. This is taking place tonight. I believe it starts at 6 p.m. this evening, so that will really give you, you can probably call them up or go on the website and register, or just come on down to the Open Center and register. I think that would be great as well. So, Sergio, I want to also talk about your workshop coming up this weekend. And the workshop coming up this weekend is a two-day event, and you will be teaching about the obsidian mirror. So tell us a little something about the significance of the obsidian mirror.
Oh, the obsidian mirror because actually people ask me, which religion are you? I don't want, because I think that's the one of the greatest mistakes nowadays, that you define you, I'm Catholic, I'm Jewish, I am whatever, and then you think you have the truth. I'm very open to everywhere where I find wisdom. But actually, if I am very, very honest, I have part of Catholic because my family is part of that. But I really practice the ancient tradition of the Toltec and Aztecs. And for that tradition, the obsidian mirror was really, really like the most sacred object. Because for the ancient, Senteotl, or the first energy, the one that we talked before, gives like 14 steps to become matter. But the first thing, it is said that the black eagle or Senteotl, or in order to create, she has, or he has to reflect himself, to create a subject-object. And that everything that we think that is real is reflected in the mirror, is in the mirror, in the reflection of that first energy. So we, now speaking in the radio, now that I'm in this beautiful city, New York City, everything is in the mirror, in the first reflection that some people ask me, where is that first reflection? I say, I don't know, many dimensions up. But it was said for the ancient tradition that we are so fascinated by this reflection that we have totally forgotten who reflects. And who reflects is this first energy. And actually the ancient Mexicans used that like a physical representation of that mirror in obsidian in a volcanic rock to remember how is really the creation. That the first thing that you learn is to enter in what we call the black eagle perception, in which you move the eyes in a certain way that you disappear. And when you disappear, you get awareness that what you are seeing is the real thing, what we can call in modern worlds spirit, and that you, your body, is the reflection. And it's a great thing because even quantum physics says, or physics, that we are just particles spinning. I don't know which strange trick our brain does to make us look like solid. But also in the Eastern tradition, they say that everything is an illusion in many of all of them. But I think here that I'm not saying it's better, because it's not. You see it with your own eyes, that we are boys. And then you master the art of, for example, looking at the idea that you have of yourself and disappear it and ask the mirror to take it, or your history, including everything you have done, everything you have eaten or whatever, and take it out with the consequences. And many, many things. So the obsidian mirror is amazing. For the ancient Mexican, also, it was what you see in the mirror. It was like a dream. It was exactly like if you were able to materialize the dream. That is what is said in Mexico. But recently in Italy, because my first book was a big bestseller in Italy, so one researcher of the Turin University made like a study of me, electroencephalogram, while I was doing the mirror, and the results were like amazing, because it shows that what the ancient Mexican said, it was true, that the delta waves boost and the gamma waves, and the delta ones is like if you were like in a deep sleep period. And I was opening my eyes, I was seeing things in the mirror, I was moving the mirror. So they said it's quite incredible, because they have tested a lot of people doing meditation and that. But they say it's amazing also, but they are not moving and they are closing their eyes. So to enter in a discipline in which you are opening the eyes, in which you are moving an object, and then also to give the results that you are in a deep, deep state of dreaming, it's kind of amazing. For me, it was just a confirmation of what the ancient Mexican said, that the mirror was the opportunity to materialize the dream, like in, it's exactly like a movie, like if you have a screen and that you are able to project your dream in the screen.
That is really amazing. And I've been using the mirror, and probably not to the same success that you have, because I haven't been diligent enough. But I do see in the mirror, and I have seen, you know, different colors and different shapes, as well as different faces of myself, you know, that I might not recognize, but in terms of just looking at the face, but I recognize it as myself. So what was I experiencing with that? Do you have an idea what that means?
Yeah, the mirror could be a portal to the past and could be also a portal to the future. It can be a portal to pieces of your mind that are in the underworld, that would be the way of calling past lives for the ancient Mexicans. Because for the ancient Mexicans, every time that you die without awareness, that piece of your mind, that life, goes to the underworld until you rescue it. So you could be seeing that. Also, you could be seeing ancestors, because they manifest in the mirror the colors that you say, that you saw, that are very important, because we try to see colors. For example, if you are able to color, that now you can be like my witness for the people that are hearing this for the first time. Sometimes the mirror colors really red. If you are able to get that color and you put it in something, in a physical issue that you have, the mirror begins healing that. If you get the green and you put it in a certain area, then you heal emotional problems. The white or orange is for enlightenment. So you are seeing many, many things in the mirror. You can also go to the future. So it's an amazing tool. It's my actually, of everything I teach, it's my favorite one.
Well, I can understand that, because there seems to be no end to what you can explore and learn using the obsidian mirror. And I remember you, when I was studying with you once, I think it was 2 years ago, you were saying that if when we look at the pyramid sites in Mexico, that you'll see these figures holding the mirror, and they look like they're leaning back almost, and their knees are up, and you see them gazing into a bowl or something. But that is in some way connected to the mirror. So so it's a really, really ancient practice. Can you tell us about that, and maybe about the properties of the lava of the obsidian itself, if that holds that power?
In the top of the pyramids, there were, in the Mayan area, they call them Chakmol. They are very known because, for example, the Chichen Itza pyramid, that is quite known around the world, has one in the top. In the Nahuatl, Toltec, Mexica, Aztec, and Teotihuacan area, they were called Tezcatzoncatl. That means the ones that know the mirror or know the water. Unfortunately, many of those that were in the top of the pyramid, some politicians took them and say, we are taking it to an exposition or wherever, and then they never get back. But like 30 years ago, almost any pyramid except the one of the moon and the sun in Teotihuacan had one Chakmol or Tezcatzoncatl in the top. So that meant that it was so important. Many academics said that it was to put the heart of the sacrificed. For me, I get really sad because that version doesn't have any sense, because I know how to do it. It's like a yoga posture in which you enter in an altered state, and then you change your face in the mirror to a certain archetype that you would like to reproduce in the dream. So actually, it's a lucid dream posture. There are some of them have like a bowl, because these disciplines could be done like in water or in the mirror. In water, it was done with rainwater. So because if you see, you can also reflect yourself in the water and disappear and get all these properties. And there are many, many stories about the water seers, not only in Mexico, around the world. Probably because we have a lot of obsidian in Mexico, the ancient Mexicans developed like the other technique that is quite unique, because I have only seen obsidian mirrors like in Anatolia, that is what is now Turkey, and in Mexico, that to create the same effect. Because obsidian is a volcanic rock. So when Of course, then after the volcano eruption, it will cool down, and then if you polish it, yeah, you will get an obsidian mirror. Also, it's considered the stone of the Tezcatlipoca, the smoking mirror, that for us is the ruler of the unconscious, of the dreams. And it was said that after a certain time in the ancient Mexico, they gave the Tezcatlipoca-like characteristics of a god. And they were telling him that he was a god, that with a smile was going to give you fortune or misfortune. And actually, the first thing that I will teach on Saturday is how to, because if you disappear your reflection in the mirror and then you smile into the mirror, then you will see like a half moon down in the mirror. That is actually the smile of the Tezcatlipoca. That is the smile of your unconscious. That is very similar to that one of the cat in Alice in Wonderland. That if you remember, the entire cat disappeared, and you just saw like the smile. It will be something like that, without teeth, of course. But you will see like that half moon down. That is the smile of the Tezcatlipoca, and then you are completely in contact with your unconscious. And then you can ask, of course, if you ask for misfortune, you will get it. But we won't ask for misfortune. We will ask for good things for us. And then you go step of a step of all the names of the Tezcatlipoca that actually are like layers of your unconscious. The idea that you have of yourself, your history, that voice that is telling you, this is impossible. You are too old. You will never get it. This cannot be healed, because medicine says that we need to make that voice weaker and weaker and weaker in order to be able to change. So there are many aspects of you, what you really feel, and that sometimes we don't want like to face it, because probably I am really fearful of death, or really guilty about something I did. And normally we don't want to take out those emotions, because it would be really heavy for us. So that's the opportunity, the mirror, to really face that, and then to disappear them with your reflection, and then to take that out from you, your own enemy, the destructive energy that is creating all these problems in yourself. So it's a huge thing. And for example, that first discipline is called the cleansing of the cave. And I teach now, like I think, like between 15 or 16 different countries. And I have thousands of students around the world. And at least I have heard like 1,000 times, 36 days in the mirror did for me, I think, more than everything that I have done before. And I'm not telling this because like being arrogant, because it's not. Because it's not even mine, it's from the ancient Mexicans. I am just teaching it. But even for me, I have done a lot of spiritual work before. But really to face that is what is hidden down, like down inside us, when I face it and I accepted that I had all those issues, that I had an enemy, that I had a part of me that loved to fight, and when I began dealing with that, I made a huge change with me and with other people. I began being aware, first of all. I began being kinder. And I began, I think, being happy for the first time in my life.
Wow. Well, that's really, that's pretty incredible. I have to say, that's an amazing response to this. And as we reach to our closing few moments, can you also relate the work that you're talking about, both the lucid dreaming and the obsidian mirror, to the times we're living in, this bridge period of dawning of the sixth sun? Because it seems like since we're moving into the sun that's more about being aware of the inside, that these are practices that can really help people to move through this bridge into the next epoch of time.
Yes, of course. For example, I think many of the people that is hearing us heard about the famous 2012, that is, well, if it was going to be the end of the world, that was based in the Mayan count, the long cycle. But also the Nahua cultures, that are Teotihuacan and Toltec Aztecs, had their long own count, that they are named suns. These are periods of 6,625 years. And day and night, they change one from the other. The fifth sun was a sun of the day, of the tonal, of when we are awake. And if you see, when you're awake, you have opened your eyes, so you're always seeing outside. That's why the fifth sun was a sun when God was outside, medicine was outside, everything was outside. And that's why the sounds of the tonal or the waking state are very good for religions, for medical, for looking for a doctor or someone to solve your problems. Now for the ancient Nahuatl count, we are changing from a sun of the inside to the from a sun of the outside to a sun of the Nahual or the inside. When you close your door, your eyes, the only thing that you see is your inner self. And you have to face all these things that I said, your demons, the area of you that likes to fight, your own destructive energy and that. But if you solve that, then you enter in the real power of yourself, that we call it caves of power. Actually, also, the next thing that you must see is your dreams. That is the true you, because when we're awake, a lot of our mind is there. And we try to be, oh, no, this is bad, so I will be nice and I will smile. In the dreams, you don't have that. You are like you are. And if there is a lot of violence in yourself, you will get a lot of violence in your dream. So it's to face the real part of you. And now we're entering in that period of 6,000 years, so it's not going to be like a small one. And if you see, we're very lucky to be witnessing both sons, because I remember when I was really young and we hadn't started like the shift, the people were quite comfortable only with a good job, a family, and to go to mass on Sundays. But now, people is in real crisis, everything, economics, politics, everyone is questioning everything. But I think that people is now questioning everything, but should start questioning themselves. And then questioning everything, you will be coherent. But it's a great time to explore you. And lucid dreaming and the obsidian mirror will be like an amazing opportunity to move yourself before a sickness or a really emotional problem or a bankrupt makes you move. So to prepare, not for that, to prepare yourself to live a beautiful life in the new times.
That's a very powerful message for people to think about taking this opportunity, and keep in mind that Sergio was last here 2 years ago, so these visits are somewhat rare, and it's an opportunity for you to connect to the teaching that he brings you. Sergio Magaña is indeed a lineage holder in all of these teachings, and he can offer you an insight and some real work that you'll be able to continue, because the practices that you teach continue for a number of days, do they not?
Yeah, the obsidian mirror, at least you must do it 36 days. Dreaming, and then I will teach other two disciplines in the obsidian mirror. Other that is like to call the most beneficial forces of the ancient Mexico to take your problems to the land of the dead or the land of the dreams so that they don't bother you here in this life, and also how to plan your destiny in the lines of your faith. So you do all those disciplines in certain numbers of days. And of course, dreaming would be for all your life because we dream every day. So to be planting dreams or being aware of your dreams and that will be like a life discipline.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for people, I just want to let you know that you can find out more at this by going to opencenter.org, and you can check it out and you can register right there. And it starts tonight. Tonight is the class on lucid dreaming, and it's an evening workshop. And then over the weekend will be the Obsidian Mirror. It's a 2-day workshop, so I invite you to find out more about that. Again, the website is opencenter.org, and their phone number is 212-219-2547. Again, that's 212-219-2547. And you can find out more there. We will also have this information on the website of PRN.fm. If you go to the Heart of Mind radio page, you'll be able to see that. So I invite you to connect if this inspires you. And I want to thank you very much, Sergio, for joining me this morning.
Thank you, Catherine. I hope to see you in the workshops. And if not, I'll send you a big, big kiss. Thank you for all these interviews.
You're very welcome. Bye-bye for now. And I just want to invite all of you to stay tuned. We're going to take a little break and play some station announcements, and then we will be back in just a few moments. So stay tuned. And welcome back. And I am very happy to be here. You're listening to Heart of Mind Radio over the Progressive Radio Network. And we just had a lovely interview with Sergio Magaña. And again, for those of you who want to connect with that workshop, the Lucid Dreaming and the Toltec Tradition is today, and that is the 13th of May, and it starts fairly early, so you might want to get there right from work from 6 till 10 p.m. It's an evening workshop. He also has the Obsidian Mirror practice that's taking place. It's Saturday and Sunday, May 14th and 15th from 10 a.m. till 5 p.m., and you'll be able to make that connection with Sergio, or you can check out the website prn.fm, Heart of Mind page, and there you will find all the information that you need. You'll also be able to find, when you go to that Heart of Mind page, information about the upcoming spiritual support group. So this is really going to be a fabulous opportunity for us to come together to work with each other and to meet in a fashion that we can learn to talk to each other, work with each other, work with ourselves, and it'll be a way that we can support each other in cultivating some of these different things that we are working towards in our lives. So we're going to be having that coming up, and it is May 18th, so that's pretty special, May 18th, coming up this Wednesday. And we are going to be meeting from 7:15 until about 9:15. So that is a pretty cool thing as well. We hope that you can really enjoy that and join us. And for those of you who want to join me, you can do that easily by either sending an email to heartofmindradio@gmail.com, or you can check out the website. We're more than happy to, if you look at the Heart of Mind page on the PRN website, you'll find out more about this gathering. We actually meet on a monthly basis, and it is going to be, I think, something that hopefully you will truly, truly enjoy, benefit from. And the space we're meeting at is Jnana Yoga, J-N-A-N-A, Jnana Yoga Wellness Center. And it's around the corner from we met previously, 97 Bond Street in Brooklyn. But for those of you who want more information, give me a call, 347-480-1694. Or again, you can email heartofmindradio@gmail.com. And I really enjoy doing this kind of work where we have an opportunity to really come together, to have a conversation, to really share each other's insights, experiences, because we can learn from each other. And we can find community with each other, a kind of community that is more difficult sometimes to find in our everyday life, going to school, going to work, dealing with and relating to our family. People don't always understand that those of us who are having this conversation, listening to this program and in this support group, have a very deep internal life, a real expansive journey. And we can look at our lives and look at our accomplishments and help each other with that. Or we can bring our challenges to the table and we can work with each other on that as well and offer insights to each other. And during the spiritual support group, we also do meditation, in which we can move into that inner space. It's a guided meditation, allows us to connect with the energies, the fields of our expanded self, the higher self, the quantum self. We also work with connecting to the energy and the spirit of Gaia, Pachamama, our own planet, as well as connecting to the energies of the bigger world, the greater world of the cosmos. So we are asking you to please connect. There are many ways to connect. You can connect through the website, or you can connect on Facebook as well. We have a Facebook page that we are working on to continue with our interconnection, communicating between our meetings, because we really want to keep this conversation growing. We want to keep it building so that we can become in our fullness. We like to take workshops. We like to read books. We enjoy insights and listening to people speak, but also we want to cultivate our own voice. We want to nourish the vision that comes through us, the mission that comes through our lives. But in addition to that, we also want to be able to fully explore the expansion that's possible for each and every one of us. And so it's important to have a supportive environment in which to do that. It really does help us when we have that support, when we can recognize that first we're not the only one, but there are also ways that we can maintain our focus and allow ourselves to cultivate those dreams and desires and so that inner mission that's flowing through. And even beyond that, it helps us to stay more joyful, to be able to really walk through life with an expression and an experience of being enlivened, enjoying the world, the colors, the scents, the people, the smiles, to be able to enjoy life in a way that is not constrained by the everyday drama that we might see in the news or that we might experience in different places in our lives. We can cultivate an underlying sense of peace and joy. And that's really the mission behind the spiritual support group. So I hope you'll connect with us. My number is 347-480-1694. Stay tuned for the Progressive Radio Network, PRN.FM. We will be sharing many, many wonderful programs throughout the day. So stay tuned and join me again next Friday morning at 10 a.m. for Heart of Mind Radio. Have a good weekend, and maybe I'll see you at the Open Center. Bye for now.